Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight as we review the news. Not much happening, not much change of positioning since yesterday. Yesterday I said that we were receiving mixed messages from Russia, and I think we are still in that situation because we've had Vladimir Putin and his government say that they were redirecting troops from Kiev, that there would be less intensity in Kiev, that they were redeploying toward the south. However, at the same time, we see one of the most important bombardment of Kiev that we've had since the beginning of the war. So what does that mean? Some people are speculating, and it may be the most reasonable interpretation. Some people are speculating that strategically, when you exit a position militarily, there can be a tactical bombardment that happens to ensure that the enemy is on their is nervous and is in a defensive position so that you can escape. So perhaps this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the Russian military making sure that as they withdraw from Kiev, that they don't get attacked. About the truth, media says, what country is JF from? I am from Canada. I am a Quebecois living in Canada. So that's where I'm from. I visited the Europe, and I've lived the 5 years of my life, a little more even, in the US. But I am a Canadian citizen. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Tim Pool is speculating based on a mainstream media article. Putin reportedly fled to nuclear bunker, pulls troops from Kiev, sparking fears of nuclear war, World War III. Talk about a title, Tim. The whole idea of seeking cover for Putin is not so alarming, and it's what I've been counseling. People will remember if you watch this show, like 3 weeks ago, at the very beginning of this war, I was saying, Putin should be hiding because there might be a missile by the American government or some other country. There are a lot of people who will want him out, and so not particularly surprising that Vladimir Putin would be in a nuclear bunker. That's exactly where I would be if I was him. Azeus says, JF does not believe in country borders. He is a citizen of the world. I don't know where you got this. I don't know where you got this ID. What may seem like a small news item is quite important. I think we have to pay extreme attention to this kind of news item. Shell hits military camp in Russia, most likely from the Ukrainian side, according to the TASS news agency. This is probably a minor thing, all in all, physically. We're just talking about a small bombardment. Perhaps no one was hurt. However, let us not forget that Russia has a special policy of using nuclear weapons only if their existence is threatened. And even a small event like this could be used as a justification. If Ukraine becomes too aggressive and starts bombarding positions on the other side of the Russian border, if they get too excited, if they think they won so much that they feel confident they can attack Russia on their soil, we might have a turn of event in a very small amount of times. A news like this could eventually form the basis for a nuclear attack from the Russian side, although the Russian diplomats today have said to the media that it wasn't in the plans at all, that there was no way they were conceiving of the Ukraine conflict developing in a way that would require nuclear strikes. So for those who are scared of nuclear war, that is reassuring. Russia is not currently studying or thinking about the use of nuclear weapons. But arguably, they're leading a war then that is much more dirty, and that leads to arguably perhaps more human suffering than a nuclear strike would have, in terms of humans staying alive and being stuck and being confronting the enemy and having injuries. All in all, the dirty war of ground invasion is extremely demanding, both on the civilian populations and on the military. So this was the news that I call the mixed message. Breaking: Russia says it will radically reduce military offensive near Kiev. De-escalation does not mean ceasefire, the head of Russia's delegation now says. So it's not clear radically reducing the military offensive. But on the other hand, we have images and we have reports from people hearing the bombardments in Kiev, and it's the biggest bombardments we've had in the whole conflict. This is poorly captured by the camera, but you can guess the amount of bombardment that's behind this. And the car alarm sounding, that's a sign of that the shockwave is important. We've also seen a lot of missiles are claimed, ballistic missiles claimed to have been neutralized by the Kiev region, the Kiev city, and the Ukrainian defense. We have another take that is also very poor in terms of video, but it allows us to at least hear the sounds of what's happening. So these could be bombardments that are meant to distract the enemy as the Russian troops are withdrawing. We've seen Russian troops withdrawing. We've seen videos of them taking their trucks, packing everyone, and leaving. So there is some amount of withdrawing happening, definitely. Chef Marv says, Jeff, Russians with attitudes on Twitter says the blurry bombing videos is because of a new law in Ukraine that makes it illegal to film results of Russian shelling. Really? Is that a law? That would be very defeatist. Like, you keep journalistic reporting on the humanitarian consequences of this war for your own people. That is, but it's in line with what Ukraine has been doing, by the way. They've been making illegal Russian, pro-Russian parties. They've been making political opposition basically illegal. They've been oppressing Russian ethnics in terms of employment opportunities, and they would keep their own people from reporting about the reality of war. This is all in line with this whole martial attitude of Ukraine in this conflict. Epistemic Relativism says, according to Alex Christoforou of the Duran, nothing has changed regarding the Kiev cauldron. What has changed is that Russia said it was not going to advance on Kiev. Perhaps it is just what they refer to as a kind of repositioning of troops is merely the refortification and just picking positions and staying there far from Kiev. Perhaps that's what it is. So we'll see how it goes. But this was all presented as a withdrawal in line with peace talks that were encouraging, and this is why markets have been showing positive signs for the last few days. There is hope for a solution in the form of peace talks. The form that it would take right now, what is being negotiated, is a neutral Ukraine, not part of NATO, but it could join the European Union, and it could have a security guarantee. Basically, they would have the security guarantee of a NATO country because they would have Article 5 protection, i.e. If someone attacks Ukraine, this other country will come to its defense. But that is NATO membership. If you can have as part of your security guarantors members of NATO. That's basically NATO membership. So the question is this sufficient for Vladimir Putin? Personally, I think they're trying to slip a dirty one to Vladimir Putin. And I would, if I was the negotiator, if I was the Putin side, I would say no to this offer. Because the problem is you're going to be part of the European Union. You're going to continue be Europeanized or Americanized. In other words, you will be in every way an enemy of Russia, but not militarily. And there's a problem with this. And as far as military goes, you will have all of the confidence needed to guarantee that Russia will never attack you, because now you have a security guarantor, which would be a country of NATO. Leaving that aside, even if Ukraine is allowed to have its own army, the problem is, and they have signed treaties and they would have signed they would sign treaties that say that Ukraine can have its own army, but no foreign missiles, no foreign forces. Now, the problem with this article is that Ukraine can very well have its own army fully funded by the US. The US could indirectly redirect money toward Ukraine in a way that guarantees they can have infinite amounts of military power, basically. I hope that Vladimir Putin is aware of this, because if Ukraine gets what it wants in what is presented as a current draft, they would have all of this. They would have European Union membership, so they would become their economy would be totally in line with the West. They would have security guarantee, meaning Russia cannot invade it anymore. Basically, I would consider that if Vladimir Putin signs this in its current state and without territorial concessions, that would mean basically that Ukraine is getting out of this conflict better than it was before. Now, will there be territorial concessions? So it all boils down to this: is Vladimir Putin that desperate to have Ukraine acknowledge that Crimea is part of Russia and perhaps give up DPR, LPR? The other aspect of this draft in its current state, as it is discussed, is that there would be a 15-year ceasefire. That is like 15 years is a long time. So a 15-year ceasefire, one moment, that is a very long time that would allow Ukraine to become more and more ready for another wave of conflict in the future. So I don't know. And then perhaps Vladimir Putin would see it as positive, because a 15-year ceasefire would mean that whatever has been properly conquered by Russia up to now could stay in Russian hands. Because if you've taken control of a city and then oops, there's a ceasefire, the tanks that are there will stay there and the influence will keep going on. And perhaps if Vladimir Putin has done certain operations like identifying the Azov battalion, perhaps deporting them back to Russia for punishment, perhaps a ceasefire would be a pleasant thing from the side of Putin. But I'm not sure. I find all of this extremely weak concessions on the side of Ukraine for a conflict in which I think we've not seen the full might of the Russian army. But who am I? You know, perhaps the Russian army is weak. Perhaps they don't have leverage in these negotiations. The North Hole says, JF, do you think Quebecois see the situation differently since they know what it is like to be a minority in a country? Yes, I can assure you that even if I'm not a nationalist Quebecois anymore, simply because I'm not part of this nation anymore, I do interpret everything in the U in Ukraine versus DPR and LPR. I see every signature of a free people being denied their sovereignty by a federal entity. And yes, I relive a lot of what has happened between Quebec and the federal government. They really never want to give up. That's the problem. They basically consider you a property. And they don't care if your people vote. They don't care if they will not respect the vote, even if you win it. And they will do everything they can to make you lose the vote. That's the great frustration of Ukraine, is that the context in DPR and LPR was such that they were unable to pull a dirty trick type of federal campaign that would incite voting towards staying in Ukraine. So yes, I see a lot of the parallels to be made between Canada and Quebec and Ukraine and DPR, LPR. All right. The question tonight on entropy is Russia really withdrawing from Kiev? Yes or no, that is the question tonight. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats, the right way to support the show, or you can use the support button on Odyssey to send a hyper chat on Odyssey. Ukraine's military says Russia are now partially withdrawn from Kiev and Chernihiv after U.S. expressed doubt. So today we've had the U.S. say, well, we're going to believe it when we see it, basically. They say they want to relocate the troops. We don't know. And I still don't know, because the bombardments are intense. Either those are last bombardments, kind of, let's get rid of all the ammo I've got, all the missiles I've got, because I want to be light for travel. Perhaps there's this. Perhaps it's a tactical strike for the purpose of sending a red herring so that people can escape without getting attacked. We'll know with time. One moment. I'm coughing a lot these days. Perhaps I should eat fruits or whatever. John Drake says, this is about the money to be made rebuilding Ukraine. John Drake says, Putin is between a rock and a hard place. I'm sure Russian oligarchs have told him, take the deal or be assassinated. Maybe there is such internal pressure, but I don't know. I don't know. This is quite speculative. I don't know that there's any evidence for this. Rodi Lacid says, do you think the Canadian federal government fixed the referendums in Quebec? Some kind of shenanigans? I think there were buses from Ottawa and Toronto to boost the Remain in Canada demonstrations paid by the federal government. You think anything else? Definitely. I think there has been an unfair intervention from the federal government. As you described, there were protests, and under the law of Quebec, you cannot fund the no side the way they did, by another government funding one side, because the two sides must have the same amount of money for the referendum to be fair. And the federal government came in and just dumped some more money on it. So no, that was definitely not fair. Also, everything in Canada for the last 50 years is basically a fight. It's a fight to introduce diversity in Quebec with the goal of never allowing Quebec to secede. So there's been tactics used as part of immigration, as part of keeping Anglophone communities in Montreal and in other places. So yes, definitely, and through the whole immigration policy, everything is made to pack Quebec with people who won't want Quebec to be sovereign. And that's very sad to me. That is definitely an injustice. Joe Rogan slams mentally ill woke activist at Silicon Valley tech companies. Podcaster Joe Rogan slammed the Silicon Valley tech companies, saying that woke activist employees are mentally ill and the lunatics who are running the asylum to a certain extent. Well, sure, we've known that for a while. I'm glad that Joe Rogan is talking about it. Jordan Peterson will be appearing in a Bitcoiner conference. World-renowned Canadian author and psychologist Dr. Jordan Peterson will be on stage at Bitcoin 2022 in Miami, April 6 to 9, causing speculation that he may be planning a public endorsement of Bitcoin in a city that prides itself on being friendly towards Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency-related industry and adoption. Interesting. I think that Jordan Peterson has been an outsider of the crypto world mostly, but relatively sympathetic to it. Very interesting. And there will be Francis Pouliot, CEO and founder of Canada's largest non-custodial exchange, Bull Bitcoin. He has been a fan of Peterson since 2018 and included his book 12 Rules for Life in his picks for the top three books that he read in 2018. Okay. So we'll see Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson endorsing Bitcoin. That is nice. A little late, though. A little late on the track of Bitcoin. There will be a time at which Bitcoin, I guess, will not be a way to make that much money. There will be a peak Bitcoin one day. I don't know when it will come. Maybe in 5-10 years from now, we'll have a major loss of money investing in Bitcoin. But it's still looking good for me. Russian pipeline giant sets oil intake caps as storage overflows. Russia's Transneft, operator of the world's largest oil pipeline network, has taken the unprecedented step of imposing caps on oil received by it as storage filled up amid weak Western demand for Russian oil. So yes, definitely there's been a drop of the willingness to engage in trading with Russia, and so there will be companies like this that get totally overflowed with stock that they have to keep and that they can't sell. That's quite dramatic. Russia to let Ukraine join EU if it stays out of NATO, but cautions still long way to go toward final ceasefire. Russia was prepared to okay Ukraine's aspirations to join the European Union so long as it drops plans to join NATO. Included a demand for formal vows not to join NATO, not to host foreign military bases or troops, and crucially, not develop nuclear weapons. This is a dangerous positioning. I wouldn't accept the deal as it stands like that. The big problem is you're going to have Ukraine be an enemy of Russia and have the power with its association with the European Union to induce economic pain onto Russia, and Russia then won't be able to respond with military pain. See, so that's a problem. Ukraine would have everything they want from that deal. And if there's no territorial concession, there would be no capacity for Russia to defend against this. And Ukraine would be totally hateful of Russia in the years that move forward. Now, large explosion in Belgorod, Russia, near the Ukrainian border. This could be the shelling that was referred to earlier in the show, or it may not be. I don't know. Normally when you see like artifice, like fireworks like things like this, it's that whatever was struck was some kind of ammo depot or some kind of stock of explosives of some kind. That's the effect that it results in visually very often. John Drake says, Ukraine is famous for breaking treaties. Yeah, that's another aspect I haven't talked about, and you're absolutely right. Ukraine has had the Minsk agreements. They've never made their constitutional change. Ukraine has had Minsk Agreement 2, which was constitutional change and leaving some self-determination to DPR and LPR, never happened. Ukraine voted for Zelensky, who said, we will stop the war against Donbass. Never happened. They continued shelling, and if what Coach Red Pill reports is true, not sure if it's true, but it may be true that just before the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, Ukraine was preparing to do a massive military operation, basically attack the Donbass and take full control of it. So it may be that Russia beat them at the speed here. Russian boat was pictured today at Antonivsky Bridge near Kherson, so in the south of Ukraine, that is deep in the lands. There's a river that goes from the sea to the Dnieper River, and here we see a Russian boat in deep in those lands. Testicles says, "Does JF smoke cigarettes?" No, I don't. I've been smoking cigars maybe 10, 15 years ago, but no, I don't smoke right now. Fires near Kharkiv after recent shelling. Kharkiv is also continuing to be a target of the operation here. We can see some things catched fire. Kharkiv still a target, and no withdrawal from there planned. Russian army has also shelled, so we're seeing a lot of shelling, a lot of missile strikes. Today, I would say, is one of the most numerous missile numbers that I've seen in this conflict. We're seeing missiles headed toward the west. We're seeing missiles headed toward Kiev, and a successful strike of Mykolaiv, an administrative building, high-rise building, was destroyed. Unfortunately, I couldn't find the photo, but earlier in the day, I did see the photo of this building. 12 people dead, at least, were found, and the building, there's a big hole in the middle of the building. So Mykolaiv also getting struck, and it may be the next front of the war. It may be the reason why some troops would withdraw from Kiev to go help with the Mykolaiv front. An air base in Starokostyantyniv has been struck. We only have pictures from far, but air base here from the military being struck. PMX says Russia to absorb Donbass, Kherson, Odessa with road bridge to Transnistria, then peace treaty with remaining rump of Ukraine who can join EU but never NATO. I can't see Putin accepting anything less than this. Well, yes. So what you mentioned there would be a deal that includes major territorial concessions. But right now, there's no talk of territorial concessions in the draft as it is laid out right now. But I don't know. Does Ukraine think they can get away with this? Without, are they real when they say we won't do any territorial concession? Because that would mean they still claim Crimea. What would be the advantage of Russia to sign anything like this? What would be the gain? You might as well not sign it. If you don't sign it, you keep your troops in Crimea, you keep your troops in the south of Ukraine, and it keeps being hard for the Ukrainian defense. So I don't know why Russia would gain at signing this. They would have to be very desperate, and they would have to be convinced that their troops are basically unable to hold the grounds that they currently hold. That state of desperation could happen. Perhaps Putin was very surprised at the sanctions that were leveraged against him, but he should have expected those. Ukraine demands security guarantees similar to NATO's Article 5, excludes Donbass and Crimea. Ukrainian negotiators on Tuesday proposed a mechanism similar to that of Article 5 of NATO to guarantee the security of Ukraine. The proposal would require the guarantors to hold consultations within 3 days of the start of any war, aggression, military operation, and any disguised hybrid war against Ukraine, after which the guarantors are legally obliged to provide military assistance to our country, in particular in the form of armaments and the closure of the skies. The suggested guarantors include the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council, the United States, Great Britain, France, China, and the Russian Federation. Ukraine also wants Turkey, Germany, Canada, Italy, Poland, and Israel to be listed as guarantors. I'm reading this and I'm like, is this something that Putin will sign? He would be basically giving away Ukraine to all these countries, which up to now have done nothing except subversive war, except like, oh, we're going to give you some ammo. And that sounds like they're treating this whole thing as if they had won. And I'm like, there must be something I'm missing here. However, some territories under dispute would not be covered by the security guarantee. As for the temporarily occupied territories of the Donetsk and Luhansk regions and the Autonomous Republic of Crimea, since their status is not regulated, international security guarantees will not work temporarily in these territories. That is not as good as a recognition of their independence and a respect of some drawn border. I find this this peace agreement, or this ceasefire agreement, if you will, extremely weak, extremely uninteresting for Russia. Return to Shimp says, if Russia agrees to guarantors, that would be a massive loss. Exactly, because then they would be on paper saying, you know what, it's a legitimate thing for the United States to send planes and close the sky over Ukraine. Why in the hell would Putin sign this? There's something wrong here. Either we're just getting the side of Ukraine. Perhaps all this is Ukraine propaganda, and this is not a draft at all that Russia would sign. But if that's real, if it's really something that Russia is considering, I'm floored. That's basically an abandonment. Do you want lunch? Says, we'll stay out of NATO, but we would like to be backed by a NATO country. Exactly. This is... Are they trying to fool Putin? It seems that... The thing is, they're trying to make the case that, oh, well, you're going to gain something. We're not going to have missile silos from other countries on our ground. But that is so small, because Ukraine could have its own missile silos. They could have, in no time, nuclear capabilities provided by other countries, operated from a distance by other countries, with the training of other countries. There's something wrong in this offer. And are we faced with some trolling? I don't know, something like this. Maybe Russia is trolling Ukraine, or maybe Russia is desperate. I don't know. Or maybe it's just propaganda to make everyone believe that Russia is losing. Return to Shim says they can't be honestly considering this. Lendalt Guntram says Western Poland belongs to the Czech crown. Okay. Chef Marv says the severity of the sanctions tell me Russia stepped in right before the West managed to do the same thing. Being the first on the Donbass forces, the other side to escalate first. John Drake says, I wonder if the rumors of military equipment being sabotaged back in Russia are true. If so, this could be the thing forcing Putin's hand. I don't know if there is a strong internal dissent movement in Russia. Perhaps there is. Tillman says, what is the source of this information? The Epoch Time, I will put the link right here in the regular chat. And it's from a Ukrainian government statement. So it's the Ukraine side. Perhaps it's the Ukraine side displaying an overly optimistic hope about what Russians could accept when they can't. John Drake says, I was really hoping for Russia to check the US dollar by demanding payment for petroleum in rubles. Yes, and they did. But at the same time, the European countries have said, we won't pay in rubles. But then what? Then what will Russia do here? Will they also lose this one? I'm quite disappointed by Russia here. What will they do? Will they accept the payment in US dollars? Will they stop the delivery of petroleum? I have no clue. We'll see what happens. I guess we have to wait and see how it develops. EU threatens block on Russian oil to Serbia. Croatian state-run oil company Janaf has said it will block supplies to Serbia's oil and gas company NIS, 56% owned by Gazprom, from mid-May to comply with EU sanctions against Russia. Janaf signed a 3.2 million ton supply agreement with NIS in January this year, but declared in a Zagreb bourse filing their inability to continue beyond May 15. Firestarter says, why Serbia? Well, I think that everything we're seeing right now is a game of economics, a game of deprivation, of selective starvation against a bunch of country that the West has an issue with, and they want to make their lives difficult. It's kind of an attack on everything from Russia to Ukraine to some extent, to Serbia, to Belarus, but down to Germany and France. It's basically a bunch of sub-players of the Western economic global empire fucking up other players of the Western global economic empire. And there are side casualties in Ukraine, Belarus, if you will. But what we have is a war against anything Russian and anything pro-Russian and anything that could be sympathetic to Russia. The Bias News reports Fox News, AOC becomes fifth House Democrat to call on Clarence Thomas to resign or be impeached over wife's January 6th text. These people are unbelievable. They want a judge of the Supreme Court to lose his position because his wife what? What could a wife do that would justify impeaching Clarence Thomas? As far as I'm concerned, his wife could have mass murdered a million people, and that wouldn't be, he wouldn't be the guilty one. His wife, of course, didn't mass murder a million people. His wife texted some support, apparently. I don't even remember the details, but I remember covering it, and it was really banal and trivial. So basically, some words of support, or some words that have been interpreted as support for January 6th. That has nothing to do with Clarence Thomas. She can do whatever she wants. We have a naked man. A naked man has been walking in a mall. A masked naked man with fire extinguisher in San Francisco. Let's have a look at the situation. He eventually gets his head smashed by a large display sign of
sir,
some kind.
Sir, you need to leave our store. Sir, you're not going to get famous doing this. You need to go. The exit is right there.
He is not responsive.
Dude.
Very zen, in a way.
Whoa.
Oh, and the guy hit him in the back of the head and walks away.
I don't know who he is.
But he is not deterred.
I don't know who he is. Oh, my God.
He is not deterred. He continues.
Yeah. Stay back.
He will go get his revenge.
Stay back.
He's carrying the very weapon that was used against him. He wants to impose
the same suffering. Lock the door. Aiden, lock the door. Dude, that guy.
This guy, it's like when you fuck with the naked man, with the fire extinguisher, you fucked with the wrong guy. This guy is now running after his aggressor, and he's naked, and he will attack him with the very same weapon that was used against him. A very interesting situation, but I'm glad that I don't live in San Francisco. Putin has created a global food crisis with war in Ukraine, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State says. Well, you guys have kind of created a food crisis with your sanctions, right? Because the war in Ukraine itself would have had minimal effect. You wanted it to have major effects. White House on Russian troop withdrawal claims, we are not going to take their word for it. And they were correct because, as we've seen in the remaining of the days of the day, there has been bombardment. Biden's proposed $5.8 trillion 2023 budget increases overall domestic spending by 7%, boosts military allocations by 10%, and includes a raft of new tax levies for high-income earning individuals while raising the corporate income tax from 21 to 28%. This is economy-killing bill. It's a flood of money. It's absolutely unsustainable. And Tim Pool has been documenting this high-income earning individual. It's that above $100 million, you would be basically taxed on your unrealized gain. Absolutely insane. This would force people to sell stock that they didn't want to sell just to pay the tax bill. So it's like the tax system, the tax scam coming at you and saying, whatever property you have, if it gains value, we're going to be able to justify draining a little bit away from you. So you would have basically the government become an agent of that will help crash the economy. Because there is a reason why prices of stocks remain high. It's because people don't sell them. If the government comes in and says, cash it out and give us the money, what that means is suddenly that money is in the hand of the government. But on the market, some stocks has been sold, which wouldn't have been sold otherwise. So the government becomes a cause of depriving oneself of property. Tim Pool was giving the example, suppose you have a car and, oh, next year there's a market change and this car now is worth double the value. Well, now your car is worth double the value, and so you have to sell it to pay the taxes of the increase in value of that car. Same thing for real estate. Absolutely ridiculous. Firestarter says they would have to know the future to tax you. It's a future tax in a way. It's a minority report style of tax. But no, they wouldn't have to know the future. They would just say, oh, the current market value of this is this, therefore that's the value. Which is a lie, by the way, because if you own hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars of something, you know very well that as soon as you sell your first stock, and then you sell your second, third, fourth, maybe 1,000 stocks, the value at the bottom will be smaller than the value at the top. In other words, no one can sell a massive amount of stocks without moving the stock market itself. So, and even if it wasn't of this, just the increase of the corporate tax income from 21 to 28%, that will crush corporate income. Of course, what companies will do is they won't have corporate income anymore. And then the increase of the size of the budget, 5.8 trillion with a 7% increased domestic spending and 10% increased military spending. We're all in this for what? Because we've decided to deprive ourselves. Why do we need 10% more army? Because we chose to deprive ourselves from the president who was able to keep countries at bay with just words on Twitter. That's literally what's happening. You have to lose billions of dollars Because you can't accept having a president that makes nuclear threats to Russia directly on Twitter, which is what Trump was doing. So how efficient was that? We are headed toward the conclusion of the show. There wasn't much news today, and you guys seem to be relatively passive on the regular chat. And so since not much questions are coming, I will be closing the show soon. But the Bias News had a news about BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed News Union votes to authorize strike. So it seems there will be a strike at BuzzFeed, but BuzzFeed had already been cutting into their employment. So BuzzFeed was already very tight, and they had to tighten up a year or two ago. And now their employees are causing trouble, but you won't have much because your job is crap. That's what a BuzzFeed employee must understand. You're part of a very crappy outlet that produces very crappy value for the society it's in. Your work has no value, that's why you're getting paid very little. And you won't get paid more. You deserve to be fired if you're an employee of BuzzFeed, and I hope it happens because your contribution to society is zero. So we don't need BuzzFeed. It's a bunch of leftist losers writing hit pieces, and not even hit pieces, just dirty stuff. It's a company that's due to die. And if the company itself doesn't self-eliminate, eventually that kind of union strikes will kill it. Firestarter says, JF, I think the Heartland Theory by Mackinder is an interesting topic for the current day event. You had talked to me about it. I added it to my list, but I still haven't figured out what it was. Sir Halford John Mackinder was a British geographer who wrote a paper in 1904 called The Geographical Pivot of History. Mackinder's paper suggested that the control of Eastern Europe was vital to control the world. Mackinder postulated the following, which became known as the Heartland Theory. Who rules Eastern Europe commands the Heartland. Who rules the Heartland commands the World Island. Who rules the World Island commands the world. The Heartland he also referred to as the pivot area and as the core of Eurasia, and he considered all of Europe and Asia as the World Island. In the age of modern warfare, Mackinder's theory is widely considered outdated. At the time he proposed this theory, he took into consideration world history only in the context of conflict between land and sea powers. Nations with large navies were at an advantage over those that could not successfully navigate the oceans, Mackinder suggested. Of course, in the modern era, the use of aircraft has greatly changed the ability to control territory and provide defensive capabilities. The Crimean War. Mackinder's theory was never fully proven because no one power in history had actually controlled all three of these regions at the same time, but the Crimean War came close. During this conflict, waged from 1853 to 1856, Russia fought for control of the Crimean Peninsula, part of Ukraine, but it lost to an allegiance of the French and British, which had more effective naval forces. Russia lost the war even though the Crimean Peninsula is geographically closer to Moscow than to London or Paris. Okay. Patricius says, Heartland Theory is very specific about its time and the context when it was written. It's not universal. I can get a general message from it, which it seems to be saying there's kind of the center of everything matters, and there are certain lands that are bound to be nexus for many civilizations, for the intersection of forces of civilization from the West, from the East, from Asia. And yes, Ukraine is kind of at a special spot being there. And on top of it, it's a spot that has also sea access. So that's a combo. But yeah, there are other alternative routes. Like, why isn't Turkey the heartland? That's an interesting question, because as far as I can tell, Turkey has all of the advantages of Ukraine. And on top of it, it kind of has a veto on Ukraine access to the sea, because as we've seen, when the Russian boats wanted to come in the Black Sea, they've been told by the Turkey that they would not be able to pass. So Turkey has an even more strategic positioning that has basically all of the advantages of Ukraine, plus one, plus size, plus a lot of things. So I don't know, if you try to universalize this theory, why would Turkey be excluded? Is it because Turkey is part of a separate civilization, not white? I don't know. Patricius says, Turkey is coast and Ukraine is also kind of coastline. Russia has most of the heartland. Yeah, as far as land, yeah, I think that land probably mattered more in those times than it does today. As the blog post points out, because of air control, because of air travel, it may be outdated in that sense. All right, is Russia really withdrawing from Kiev? Two people voted no. I don't know. I really don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I think time will tell what was behind all of this. But as far as I see, the current resolution as presented to the media by Ukraine, I can't perceive a possible future in which Russia finds this attractive. There has to be territorial concession, and Crimea only would be very disappointing for Russia, I think. When you look at the military operation that was made, it doesn't look like a military operation that is bound to only Crimea or only even DPR and LPR. It looks like a much more intensive fighting for a land bridge, for a whole overtake of southeastern Ukraine at the very least. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. This week I will be making shows at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Let me check the schedule here. Yeah, so expect that tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, we'll do 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So we'll have a slightly later show. And then we'll be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, perhaps Saturday. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.